joyful.
Joyful.
Sudripta.
Sudripta.
Very proud.
Very proud.
Shama.
Also.
Also. Gandharva.
Gandharva.
Hubert.
Akrishta.
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 Attractive.
Attractive.
Manasa.
Manasa.
His mind.
His mind.
Na.
Na.
Did not.
Did not.
Vyachasta.
Vyachasta.
Try.
Try.
Vararam.
Vararam.
Higher consciousness.
Higher consciousness.
Rigginin.
Rigginin.
Wife.
Wife.
Rigaminin. Who keeps her husband in material life.
Who keeps her husband in material life.
Translation, after taking his dinner and having his thirst and hunger satisfied, King Prajna felt some joy within his heart. Instead of being elevated to a higher consciousness, he became captivated by Cupid and was moved by desire to find his wife, who kept him satisfied in his household life. Therefore, this verse is very significant for those desiring to elevate themselves to a higher level of Krishna consciousness. When a person is initiated by spiritual mastery, changes his habits, and does not eat undesirable edibles or engage in eating meat, drinking a liquor, illicit sex, or gambling. Sattvagahar, foodstuffs in the mode of goodness are described in the shastras as wheat, rice, vegetables, fruits, milk, sugar, and milk products. Simple food like rice, dal, chapati, vegetable, milk, and sugars constitute a balanced diet. But sometimes it is found that an initiated person, the name of prasad, is very luxurious foodstuffs. Guru has passed into life, becomes attracted by Cupid, and eats good food voraciously. It is clearly visible that when a neophyte in Krishna consciousness eats too much, it falls down. Instead of being elevated, the pure Krishna consciousness becomes attracted by Cupid. The so-called brahmacharya becomes agitated by women, and the vanaprastha may again become captivated for having sex with his wife. Or he may begin to search out another wife. Due to some sadness, that he may give up his own wife and come into the association of devotees and spiritual mass, but due to his past sinful life, he cannot stay. Instead of being elevated to Krishna consciousness, he falls down, being attracted by Cupid, and to another wife for sex enjoyment. The fall of the neophyte devotee from past Krishna consciousness down to material life is described in Srimad Bhagavatam by Narada Muni. This indicates that although a neophyte devotee may fall down from the path of Krishna consciousness due to his immaturity, his service to Krishna never goes in vain. However, a person who remains steadfast in his family life, or so-called social family obligation, but does not take to Krishna consciousness, receives no profit. One who comes to Krishna consciousness must be very cautious and refrain from prohibited activities, as defined by Rupa Goswami and Upadesha Samrita. A neophyte devotee should neither eat too much nor collect more money than necessary. Eating too much or collecting too much is called atyahara. For such atyahara, one must endeavor very much. This is called prayasa. Superficially, one may show himself to be very much faithful to the rules and regulations, but at the same time, not be fixed in the regulating principles. This is called niyamagraha. By mixing with undesirable persons or jhana, one becomes tainted with lust and greed and falls down. Service. Exporting at that time, King Prajna was a little anxious, and he inquired from the household women, "My dear, beautiful women, are you and your mistress all very happy like before or not?" Therefore, in this verse, the word "lady shot" indicates King Prajna Bari. When a man becomes refreshed by association with devotees and awakens to Krishna consciousness and consults the activities of his not mind, namely thinking, feeling, and willing, and decides whether he should return to his material activities to stay steady in spiritual consciousness. The word kusalam refers to that which is auspicious. One can make his home perfectly auspicious when he engages in devotional service to Lord Krishna. When one is engaged in activities other than Krishna Bhakti, or in other words, when one is engaged in material activities, he's always filled with anxieties. The same man should consult his mind, thinking, feeling, and willing processes and decide how these processes should be utilized. One always thinks of Krishna, feels how to serve, and wills to execute the order of Krishna. It should be known that he has taken good instructions from his intelligence, which is called the mother. Although this king was refreshed, nonetheless inquired about his wife. Thus he was consulting, thinking, and willing how he could return to a steady consciousness. The mind may suggest that by vishaya bhoga, enjoyment, one can become happy. But when one when one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness and offer up happiness from material activities, is described in Bhagavad Gita. Body and soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though a case for sense object remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste is fixed in consciousness. One cannot be unattached to sense objects unless he finds better engagement in devotional service. Paramrishta Nivartate. One can cease from material activities only when one engages in devotional service. As I said, after taking his dinner and having his thirst and hunger satisfied, King Parajana felt some joy within his heart. Instead of being elevated to a higher consciousness, being captivated by Cupid and was moved by a desire to find his wife, who kept him satisfied in his whole life. At that time, King Parajana was a little anxious, and he inquired from the household women, "My dear beautiful women, are you and your mistress all happy like before or not?" So, we saw in the previous verses that King Parajana went out hunting and then he got tired and then he came back home and then he ate his dinner, etc. And here it describes that he was satisfied. At the same time, it says that his mind became attracted by Cupid. In other words, he developed desire. And then he began looking for his wife. So on the one hand, he got a little tired of enjoying the hunting, he got a little tired of that sense gratification, and instead of seeking externally, he went internally, and therefore it says he was searching for the queen, which was his intelligence. And so as Prabhupada has pointed out, the person, after enjoying the material world, sometimes begins to inquire, is this actually beneficial for me or not? And that, of course, is the propensity of the human being and one of his good qualities, that he can actually be introspective and inquire with his intelligence and analyze the situation in terms of value. But of course, a lot of this may be very temporary. So we may think, well, maybe this is not such a good thing to do. But because of lack of alternatives, one finds another material type of enjoyment, and then we begin something else. So the good fortune is if one actually gets the higher taste, if one does have some experience and knowledge of higher principles like Atma or the Supreme Lord, then when one comes to this position of being tired of the material world, one can actually begin a practical, concrete spiritual process. If one does not have that knowledge and associate due to association in the scripture, then of course one will probably fall back in the material world again and try to enjoy it. So that is why the mercy of devotees, association of devotees, is very important in the material world. If people are ready for spiritual life, then devotees provide the opportunity by which a person can begin that spiritual life and begin to counteract this endless attempt to enjoy in the material world. So, of course, here we find Parajana has got mixed feelings, because on the one hand he was in sinful activity while hunting, now he's come back and he's a little satisfied internally, but then again he has desire in his mind, Kandarpa Krishna Manasa. So he's not actually at a very elevated stage. Certainly the mind is functioning and the intelligence is functioning to some degree to help him. Nevertheless, he does not have real spiritual insight at this point, so therefore he ultimately cannot succeed in spiritual life, in this particular life, and he has to gain reward. So, of course, in the next lifetime, he does get some, as a woman, he does get some advice from Brahmachari. That's his good fortune. So as long as we're in the material world, the jiva depends upon the mercy of devotees for his advancement. And without that, no matter what good intentions we have, it is very difficult to actually succeed. So I mentioned the other day that one needs scripture and acharyas and devotees to deliver the proper knowledge to a person so that he can perform bhakti. So it is the devotees in the material world who deliver that scripture and the parampara knowledge to jivas in the material world. If they are not ripe, are not ready for it, of course, then they won't take to it. So not all jivas are at this stage of inquiry. They will continually try to satisfy themselves by external objects. So that is the mode of ignorance and passion. When one comes to the mode of goodness, then one becomes more introspective and internal, and therefore one of the characteristics of sattva-guna is sukha. One is content without striving in the material world for enjoyment. So that in a sense is exactly what happens for a short period of time to Paranjana. He got tired of the hunting and then he went home and then he had supper and he was peaceful in his house. So that indicates the sattva aspect, whereas previously it was in Raja and Tamaguna. So as we know, the modes keep changing. And even a tamasic person isn't always tamasic. So sometimes he will show sattva, but predominantly he'll be tamasic. And the same with a rajasic person, sometimes he'll show tamas or sattva as well. So it is not surprising that King Paranjana also, who's basically Rajivan, will show some sattva once in a while. But this is very temporary in most cases. And again, they revert back to their strong guna, whether it's tamaguna or rajaguna. A person on sattva-guna, one who's situated firmly in sattva-guna, on the other hand, will sometimes be affected by tamaguna or rajaguna, but generally he'll be fixed in sattva. So his tendency is internal rather than external. That's his nature. And therefore this is more favorable for spiritual development. So though all people can take the spiritual life, and generally those who are sattvic can progress easier. So they have more means of advancing through Jnana Yoga and Asanga Yoga, as well as Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga. The process of bhakti is such that everybody can do it. Everybody's qualified for it. But, of course, those who are already sattvic will find it easier in many cases. But that does not necessarily mean that sattvic people are better devotees than tamasic people. Because anyone can take the devotional service, and after they take the devotional service, they all destroy the gunas. So therefore, we cannot distinguish the persons after that point. So we cannot judge devotees based upon previous gunas. And of course, we have cases like Mrigari the Hunter or Ajamil, who was very simple in gunas and tamagun, but by chanting the name, then he actually surpassed all of that and eventually went to Vaikuntha. So, in spite of the fact that he began as a Brahmana. So that case of Ajamil, of course, shows the influence of gunas. He was supposed to be sattva-guna, then he became, by association, tamaguna. Then, through the association of the name, he became nirguna. So he experienced all the gunas. He should have been sattva-guna, but actually he degraded himself to tamaguna. So this of course indicates that in the material world, none of the gunas are saved. So even if one is situated in sattva guna, it is not a permanent position and it's not a safe position. One can fall into tamaguna, and that's exactly what Ajamil did. At the same time, even though he was tamasic and doing tamasic activities, he also was delivered from that through the process of bhakti. So the qualification is not that one has to suffer wound to begin bhakti. One can begin in any mode of material nature. And in any case, one transcends. And if one fails to achieve the ultimate goal, there's no loss in that. One does not become sinful by neglecting other duties. And if one does all the other duties, like karma yoga or whatever, but doesn't do bhakti, that actually is a great loss. So the main principle, therefore, is that anybody in the gunas, whether it's a sattva, raja, or tamo guna, the best process is to take to bhakti, and then this way you solve all the problems. And the indirect process of karma yoga and all that is a secondary process recommended for people in general. But a person who actually has qualified with faith, then he can take the process, whether he's in tamaguna or sattva-guna. So, what determines the faith? Faith is not determined by gunas, because the faith is part of bhakti, and bhakti is independent of the gunas. So, faith arrives in the tamaguna person, or a sattva-guna person. In any case, the person begins bhakti. And it is not compulsory that only people in sattva guna will get faith. No, people in tamo guna can also. Why? It's because devotees can show mercy to anybody, any guna. They don't restrict themselves to people in sattva guna. So that mercy can manifest in any person. And then they can develop faith, and they can progress in bhakti. So the devotees are very merciful, and they don't see in terms of gunas. They try to spread the mercy to all people, and in this way provide a practical process of enlightenment.
Samanya.
When a person is in the home, when he takes a bhakti, he transcends from it. So this bhakti is referring to Shuddha bhakti? Or,
well, he can do any type of bhakti, like we find the case of Ajamil, it wasn't even bhakti, because it was accidental. So it was namabhas, but it wasn't real bhakti because he had no faith. Yeah, it was potent for him to destroy his gunas and his karmas, etc. So bhakti can have, the process of bhakti in the form of the name can have effect, even if one doesn't technically do bhakti because there's no faith. So that is called namabhas, without faith. And it has an effect, but of course it's not as powerful as namabhas or impure bhakti with faith. But more powerful than that is pure bhakti with faith. That's more powerful. And the end result is different also. But they all have effect. Well, it depends. In the case of Ajamil, it is said that all of his karmas were destroyed the first time he chanted the name of Narayan accidentally. So that happens, that can happen if one does not commit aparadhas. If one commits aparadhas, then there's only a gradual destruction of karmas.
What is the criteria on which the devotee shows faith in it? It doesn't look for the gunas, not depending upon the gunas. The devotee can be faith to anybody.
Well, just like the rain distributes water everywhere, so the devotees spread the chanting of a name and the process of bhakti to everybody. Some people take up, some people don't. According to the capacity, they may or may not take it. But even if they don't take it, that exposure is also mercy for them, and eventually, by exposure, they will get some faith. Well, that's another point, that one can have no karmas at the same time. Like in the case of Achamil, he did not actually have bhakti also. He didn't have karmas, but he also didn't have bhakti until actually he got instruction, or he heard the instructions of the Vishnudutas. So he didn't really develop bhakti to a very much degree. Like, maybe some little faith was there ultimately, but not much. So destruction of karmas is one thing, and the development of bhakti is another thing. So of course the more important for the devotee is the development of bhakti. That is more important. In the case of Ajamil, it did not appear that all of his karmas were gone, because he still acted like a sinful person. So sometimes the Lord does not, even though the karmas are technically destroyed, the Lord keeps an appearance of sinful activities there also. For both persons.
Despite a long period, even after initiation, the habits remain not much work to change. What should be the understanding?
Well, then it can be that the gradual process is there because of aparaj or whatever, and because of aparaj. Well, in any case, eating prasad is a devotional process, but at the same time, the counter rule is that the senses have to be also controlled. So, the eating processes and or any of the senses also they regulate in certain ways. So of course the hearing process, we can constantly hear about the Supreme Lord, and the more we hear is not a problem, so there's no overhearing about Krishna. But in terms of the physical body, the eating process is limited, and that may have negative effects in terms of simply physical capacity, so therefore one has to take care of that. It affects the material body.
Thank you. If you feel a minute.
Yes.